interrupting the current neo-euronial climate change. You know, the Rhone is not going away, folks. Behaviorally controlled, energy starved, alien invaded, nuclear glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tude Busting episode BTWRLM 529. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed. Silence is not an option here, folks, because they always eat the crickets. Are we getting it now, folks? This is what I've been saying all the time. They're after us. So I don't know where they got the idea they could do this, but they are. And if you thought that like dying would get you out of it, no, they'll try to pick your bones. First report here coming out, which is another seemingly anomaly to me, through the Twitter, and Gary Long was sending it out. Ivy League body snatchers. FBI arrests 6 people, including Harvard Medical School morgue manager, in scheme taking donated body parts and selling them across the U.S. Yes, even your skin was tanned by somebody. I think it was in Philadelphia. You can watch the video and look at what people will do. We'll even pick in your bones afterwards underneath the cover of the Harvard Medical School morgue, which kind of brought this next thing up, which kind of, why were they arresting those folks for taking care of body parts and stuff after the fact when we see newer heart transplant method could allow more patients to chance at life-saving surgery? The usual method of organ donation occurs when doctors, through careful testing, determine someone has no brain function after a catastrophic injury, meaning they're brain dead. The body is left on a ventilator that keeps the heart beating and organs oxygenated until they're recovered and put on ice. In contrast, donation after circulatory death occurs when someone has a non-survivable brain injury, but because all brain function hasn't yet ceased, the family decides to withdraw life support and the heart stops. That means organs go without oxygen for a while before they can be recovered, and surgeons worried the heart would be damaged and left it behind. What's changed? Now doctors can remove those beating hearts and put them in a machine that reanimates them, pumping through blood and nutrients as they're transported, and demonstrating if they work okay before planned transplant. Seemed a little bit more gruesome than picking your bones, but that's okay. They can do that. And maybe more power to them to be able to do that. But you're not quite dead, are you? They just figured out with all their tests, you ain't going to quite make it. So I just find this a little bit of an anomaly. Interesting technique of picking our bones and giving us to everybody else. And the profit behind that, I can't tell you. I've been looking, doing some research here in the past, ways away, but this is a big industry behind the scenes. So the beating heart of the climate, as we move on here. El Nino is officially underway. I just wanted to pick this up on the ongoing thing we do here each week. I cannot do any of all this in one broadcast. Again, this would be like a month long doing these things to prove out these concepts. Of where we can collect up information to show and counter what I see as lunatics, mental cases in the world, psychopaths, literally psychopaths. They start, maybe start as they grow up as sociopaths, but they turn into these psychopaths. And whatever their religion or their belief system is what they're going to impose on everybody. They had no sense of respect for you. And when you didn't have enough respect to protect yourself, they just took advantage. And that seems to be really how this whole world is wired. Until you stop evil, it continues. El Nino is officially underway, so now we got the official stamp of approval. I'm just talking to you about it. Again, climate change is not about the weather. It's about political climate change. Political climate's being changed to call it transformation. But I want to keep with the science, if you will, the nature. I want to keep what they disregard, those folks disregard it underneath the stalking horse of protecting the environment. They give lip service to it, actually, and they don't have the first clue about it. Even if they had a lot of clue about it, they wouldn't have perfect knowledge about these systems, which are pretty fascinating. El Nino official in where the Pacific Ocean is heating up, as I already reported here about a week or two ago, and experts say that it will be get even warmer as El Nino, and now they have the Enye here, El Nino up front in the title, but El Nino strengthens. That translates to a bigger influence on global weather patterns. That's about all I really wanted to point out, except to explain this a little bit better. It is a global phenomenon. It's not just this little spot. It affects everything. El Nino is a regular climate phenomenon in the eastern Pacific Ocean when water temperatures near the equator are at least 0.9 of a degree Fahrenheit above historical average for the three-month period. The extended period of warmth in this region of the ocean alters the jet stream and the overall weather patterns across North America. And that jet stream, if you ever studied it, it moves. It moves out really cool. It runs out at anywhere from 100 to 250 or 300 miles an hour, last I checked, I think. Nothing settled here, just that it runs. It runs really quick. A long time ago, I'm still kind of interested in all this stuff. I'm just never going to get to it. Dirigibles, blimps, we call them blimps. And we see them around. They're now coming a vogue a bit. And I thought at the one time I would like to design one a long time ago that it actually used the jet stream as a highway and utilize those air currents that are running that fast. Real technical feat to do that, but you see what's going on anymore. There's pretty interesting people that know quite a few things that can put things together and get things to happen once you just focus in and do it. Why was I wanting to do that? Because it's a really inexpensive way to transport goods and people and all kinds of stuff, and it's notwithstanding the Hindenburg, which is a different problem. But the jet stream moves right around the world, and it changes weather all over the place. And so we're going to see the way this works, and I talked about this a little bit more. We're going to see a change in the weather. The water, the air slows down, the wind shear adjusts, and we get more propensity for hurricanes, let's say, down around Mexico. It also changes wind patterns. If you look at the title, it's El Nino, and this is a global natural weather phenomenon that has nothing. What affects our weather has nothing to do with anthropomorphic anything. Just want to point that out. Where does it get that energy to heat up and cool down and go through its cycles? How? We don't really know that. That's the imperfect knowledge, and we're told that a hockey stick is going to tell us our future. It's complete nonsense. Here we have something natural. We can put it in the equation. Those folks, they're psychopaths that want to use these stalking horses to hurt us, need to be put in their place. But where do we get all that energy to do this? It's from the sun, obviously. It's the very thing that the anthropomorphic climate change has no sight of, cannot see the sun in their definition. If you don't know that, if that sounds dumb, you need to go research enough to find the definitions through the UN sustainability do not recognize the existence of the sun. It makes no contribution to their problem. Anyway, so solar is pretty interesting here. Big dynamic and all that. Again, you just look at some pictures of the size differential between the sun and the earth. It's pretty fat. Just fantastic. How does this all work? I don't know, but it's kind of neat, and it does seem to work, and it runs for a while and a long time out of mind. Maybe we're trying to figure out ways to provide energy, and I agree with that. As long as we can start looking to see, we can handle the waste, if you will, the problems that may come up with it. Satellite beams solar power down to earth in first-of-kind demonstration. So here we have one of those first-in-kind things. Experiment brings credibility to idea of space-based energy. Now, this was an idea that has been going on, I think, from the 70s, and it was instituted by the energy crisis. Another fraud set up on us as a people. Anyway, and anticipating the taking away of gold in the money system completely and putting us on this path. But again, all this technology is interesting to me. Solar cells capturing the sun in space by a satellite, then beaming that power by a microwave down to a station to pick it up and transmit it to people. Now, that's always sounded cool, but you understand all the systems that are involved. And you understand that the problem has been, and why it's only a proof of concept at this point, it's very difficult to get a type of power down to actually do the transfers. They're just now getting the technology. Well, they've done it, and it's really kind of neat. I like the idea. You could have this satellite in geosynchronous orbit and beaming down power, getting it from solar cells, and understand all the inefficiencies in the system. But look what we do. It's cool. It's kind of neat that we're going to put our experiments up in space, and we're going to get power. Now, my thought is, for first, and maybe some of you have already anticipated this, that's an awful lot of energy to try and get some power out of the sky, first of all. Secondly, if they're really interested in global warming, I can almost see this working, because they also talk about SpaceX being able to allow this to happen. Technology has really increased to make this feasible. It was never feasible before. Now SpaceX is involved about being able to slash costs for launches to get all the stuff up, and they're going to have robots to construct these vast arrays. It seems to me, and we look at maybe the making of a solar system to collect all the sun in this big, giant, immense bubble of solar collection, to become a next class up civilization to capture all the solar energy that we could power our existence with. the now on the next smart step would be to go ahead and just make these robots, make this array. I don't know how you get all this silicon in the air, but we do it. And we get it all up there. And the robots assemble this. Why don't they just keep assembling it, since climate change is our problem and the sun is really the problem? Why don't we just make this solar panel so big it just blots out the sun, and we'll beam that little microwave beam down and get all the power we need from it, folks. Why don't we do that? We'll solve two problems at once. We'll keep all the energy we need beamed to us so we can run our phones and everything, but we'll blot out the sun, and climate change, global warming is done, isn't it? Isn't it? Neat stuff. It calls me to keep thinking, though, satellites and solar power. And again, this is how these stories pop up, and this is just a little, just thoughts, just things I go through in my mind. Scientists report breakthrough in disruptive perovskite solar tech. And this was interesting. This has just come up recently. Perovskite solar cells are a new thing. They found out that these crystals perform the function of what silicon can do more efficiently. It's got a high power conversion. So we saw satellites going to solar. Solar, we're going to need to make a pretty efficient system because it's pretty inefficient beaming it all down from space. Perovskite solar cells are a promising alternative to traditional silicon-based solar cells because of their high power conversion efficiency. Long-term stability has proven to be a major issue of perovskite solar cells. PVSCs have a potential to be applied in building integrated photovoltaics. So this is just a new material that they have, but this perovskite is also a mineral in the ground, and that caused me to think with this story here, this was a thing in my whole life. It was a failed project. In a geologic triumph, scientists drill a window into Earth's mantle. The project that we were told about when I was growing up in science was the MOHO, and the process for that was started by a guy who found, his name was, he was a Croatian in 1909, seismologist named Andrija Mohorovicic, discovered a boundary within the Earth. And that led to this discontinuity called the MOHO, and now recognized as the line between the Earth's crust and its mantle. So this is a long time back in my mind. This is what memories come popping back through that I'd never really followed through. But it was one of those things, since I wanted to be in oceanography, it was part of what I was going to be looking at. All the fantastic science you could get touched by just touching the ocean, and the what hole suspends the ocean above the crust and all that. You're going to deal with volcanoes and chemistry and animals and biology and all this neat stuff. And the dynamic of the ocean, the unexplored space. There was more unexplored space than there was space itself at the time. There's more we don't know about the oceans than we do about space. But the mantle isn't a complete unknown. Occasionally, volcanic eruptions spew out bits of chunks of greenish peridotite. Now, this caught my mind because, just past knowledge, this perovskite is in a family of this rock called peridotite. So, again, connecting these ideas together. And now they have an uncontaminated core. They did it. They didn't go deepest well. They went to a place in the ocean at the seamount that they were able to get to the mantle and dig down. And they actually did a pretty good job, and they got a lot of unadulterated peridotite. And they can study it. Well, my mind went over to, and I'm just, because all the power and all the energy in the world and Earth and the interaction with the sun and the conduits and the induction and all this is just always in my mind, that solar panel conversion to electrical power, conductivity, all these things. Magnetism comes into play, all these things done. You understand that magma and its condition is what causes our seismology and the tectonic plate movement. We can see all this, but what got me going, and I'm just going to give you some quick links. And I guess I'm talking about this. It's a fascination to me. We don't really know what's going on. It's always an open question. Maybe you're interested, maybe you're not. I find fascination in what nature's there for us that we could see. Instead of making lies that only man causes heat, this is nonsense. But so we missed to go after the cool stuff. But in a study I found, and to show you the connection only here, not to go through all the study, here in this report, I've what is said to be a water solubility of magnesium perovskites with different compositions observed in peridotite and MORB systems. I just want to say that they are tied together. Show you quickly. Those two are tied in the magma. What they found was periodontite with a system of that's always changing. Remember they said before that what man makes, it degrades. This stuff is rebuilt inside the Earth. This structure, it changes and it adjusts. You know, just to say the physical properties of this perovskite, you have a compound that created called post-perovskite. And just to touch this simple stuff here, just to give you a reference, in 2005 and 2006, Ono and Oganov published two papers predicting that post-perovskite should have high electrical conductivity, perhaps two orders of magnitude higher than perovskite's conductivity. In 2008, Hirose's group published an experimental report confirming this prediction. A highly conductive post-perovskite layer provides an explanation for the observed decadal variations in the length of day. Remember, we have a decadal type of systems for, like, the ocean and the gyres. So there may be a connection. My point on this is to show you that there's this perovskite and there's these periodontites, and there's a post-perovskite, and there's a process. And when you see, when I saw conductivity here for you, just to point this out, and you see something that's half as conductive, your mind might be able to go to semiconductive. Well, that's what the perovskite solar cell is. So where I'm going here is, we have all this energy, we have uranium, we have nuclear contamination, if you will, for the Earth. It's all part of their part of energy inside the Earth. It's supposed to be molten. Where's all this energy come from? What is the interaction with the solar system relative to our magnetic field to create it all? Well, when you see that perovskites are semiconductors, and you look at your silicon solar cells are semiconductors, your transistors are semiconductors, metal oxide, the geoengineering they're doing in the skies uses a semiconductor. You realize semiconductors are really interesting. They actually cause our ability to have radio. The diodes do this, okay? The transistors are made like this. So this is a natural function that sits inside the Earth that I wondered, this radiation of infrared put in a moving system, a fluid plus plastic-style system that's changing all the time through these different phases they'll talk about here. Are they receiving this energy and converting them to electricity? Might they be? Might they be the extra catalyst that causes all these different transformations inside the Earth that creates these elements that we have? Is there a solar system inside the Earth, if you will, not like the sun, but something that radiates energy that we make, that the nature has made through its chemical transformations and changing all the time, made electrical fields for, made away conduits, made semiconductors for its purposes. And they're arranged as they go through, they're arranged to do what the Mother Earth needs, as it, you know, just these natural processes that have been kicked into gear. Again, we don't know all this. But if all this is sitting there, we have this internal solar system, if you will, the energy system that's transferring them to electricity. They're using the very basic things that man just found here just recently for doing solar conversions to the sun. Maybe part of the answer why we have so much energy coming out of the Earth, it doesn't seem to make any much sense. Maybe that's the distinction between Mars and here or other planets that don't have all this. I don't know. I'm just kind of going through. I went too long here maybe to point out that there's interesting things we don't know. That if we don't factor all this stuff in and we go through these so-called models, climate models, we can't understand what's going on. And anybody who relies on it is either going to be a dupe or someone who's a duper. And this is what's gone on. Like Michael Mann made global warming. He made it up. And this is what the whole of the government seems to be running on. The EPA, the UN, the sustainability goals. It's all run through this. And they want to talk about all this carbon being global warming, and we don't look at this process here? Well, they won't, because they have to look maybe at the sun, too, because that's a system. Anyway, maybe I went a little too far here. It's amazing what I see in the Earth that we just look away from. And I guess part of it's a little bit of an interest, because at the time, when I was young, and I looked at all this stuff, and I was told about all this, a lot of us were told this stuff. You start thinking about it. Well, the Earth has a ton of possibilities with an energy source. Why do we say that it can't do anything before? Why do we say that it can't make oil in the processes? There's evidence that it does. But they come and they say, oh, we're going to run out of oil. Well, if we're too many people on the Earth pumping too fast, I guess we can call it peak oil. But the Earth, Mother Nature's going to make its lubricants, apparently. And so we start to learn more of a natural process. Maybe we'll get more in harmony, the real harmony, with life. And pretty soon, we'll free ourselves, and this is the other thing I think is going on. If you start hiding this, then you and I, the plebs, can't get what we need in energy to be literally cut ourselves away, because a lot of what we need is energy in this world anymore. So science is moving along, finding interesting things. I don't know if they make connections. I don't know if what I'm saying has any merit, actually. But all the ingredients sit there to look like they might be possible. If they're possible, we might have a whole other avenue. Some of you that are very, very young and excited about this stuff maybe have an insight to be able to bring this stuff out and make more. Again, if you can make energy available to people on a mass scale without going through a solar panel array through a microwave station, blotting out the sun, beaming it down to one station, and you get to pay them for that, that expensive power, like they're doing with other green energy. Then if you can decentralize that, because you see everything, all the power goes to centralization. And if you can decentralize that, then we have a way for people to start to think more free because they don't have to continue going to their energy trough, if you will. Super engineered vaccines created to end polio. So a man's hand kind of corrupted here. We see this in this story, pretty interesting in some regard. You know, we can go through the idea, oh, these vaccines are bad, this and that and the other. They're looking for proof and denial and all this. But here's a story. Again, it's just evidence to me. It's notice of what's gone on. It's admissions if you accept it. It's not just something you shrug your shoulders, but you take really close notice. Scientists have super engineered a polio vaccines to prevent them mutating into a dangerous form that can cause outbreaks and paralysis. Now, we've heard about these stories about kids getting these shots or whatever they did, the sugar, whatever the heck they took. And all of a sudden, they actually get what they're supposed to be preventing. That's not a vaccine then, is it? And that's the problem in the story. If you listen to me over the time and realize what the standard is for vaccines under local communicable disease law, you'll see these are all spin experiments. They've never been proved. Man operates on an inferior knowledge and will put up, they make excuses for the harm that they cause as they practice, as they experiment, as they trip along trying to figure it out. And we always tend to come up with the most expensive way to, and inefficient way to do things. It works, but it may not actually be accurate. Oh, we can look at the sun and say it's a gaseous model, but who cares? It's still running. It doesn't really matter. But do you really know what it does in order to, there may be things that you might be able to garner from it? Instead of that, no. In one model of the world, the psychopaths have said the sun doesn't exist. It's you, the cancer, the human, the carbon unit that's the problem to its own carbon existence. And under the cover that we're providing you health, we're going to kill you off because we have inferior knowledge. The original or wild polio virus is now contained in small pockets of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the oral vaccines play a pivotal role in the attempt to rid the world of polio. Quote, the issue is they're genetically unstable. Dr. Andrew McAdam from the UK's HRA told BBC News, it takes only one mutation to turn the safe polio vaccine back into a virus that can move out of a child's stomach, invade their nervous system, and cause paralysis. And if those viruses spread from an immunized child through their contaminated feces, there is a risk of infecting the unvaccinated and triggering an outbreak. There are now more cases of vaccine-derived polio than of the wild poliovirus, and the polio detected in London sewers last year was connected to the oral vaccine. It's not a vaccine. And did you catch the fact of the jumping to the unvaccinated? The vaccinated become the cause. This is a very interesting story to read. The vaccines are not. They are guesses. And then they're trying to do a super engineered polio vaccine. Remember I talked about AI and figuring all this out, and you get to the best of the best, and then that fails because nature's tough. To understand we're really meddling things that we can't really be meddling in, and we make excuses. And since there's so much profit behind the promotion, this stuff moves forward and your kids die. We see that these vaccines based on the attenuated virus can mutate. And the mutants can go out and kill others pretty quickly, and they're not protected from it. And so this is what I wanted to point out here. Our best is not, and it's always a best guess, and it never seems to really prove out that we're putting the so-called experts, again, the evidence here, they can't be experts. And anybody who wants to claim to be an expert, and you, I say this particularly because it's in the rules, and it's been referenced with this Kobe swindle. We're going to be a medical expert. Well, they're not. And you got to have some evidence as we're moving forward. It's not going away, folks. I got this tab here coming to content. This is not going away. I told you it wasn't going away. This is what they are going to try and use the hammer to take us out one of them for sure. And it's a very difficult one to deal with, as I've told you, and I've told you how to deal with that fairly handily. And I wish people, more people would pick it up. But here we move on now. More of the things that we see they use, the technology coming. And it's inferior, but they don't promote that part. Now, I just want to continue giving you evidence here that it is inferior, so you can bring it together for protection for you in the future. And this is not just in health, but these issues were in the so-called health issues. AI helps scholars to discover substances that can prevent senile diseases. And so on this AI theme, I'm trying to show you they're a neat tool, but they're not the answer. And we're going to get it again here similarly as I talked about last week. They also, I want to point out here, and it's not necessarily a slight, they're looking to try and solve problems. The problem is that becomes a stalking. And it's used to cover a lot of other detriment, just like you see it pulled. They're just now coming out to tell us that these so-called remedies aren't. And we saw that, I told you real quickly, in the COVID swindle, when you saw that the return of the data early on was not preventing and controlling, and I'm only saying that's in the law. That's not my opinion. That's not just some arbitrary, capricious statement to say, oh, they got to prevent and control. That's in what the duty is of the local health official to confirm and make sure. And again, it's just an offer. When they see a vaccine, it has to be an offer to you to go through your doctor, and then you and your doctor having exclusive jurisdiction to decide what's best for you of the things available to prevent and control. When a vaccine can mutate, it's not preventing and control. When it can go to unvaccinated, it's not preventing and control. But that seems like the whole system. But here, we're using this thing called AI, artificial intelligence. It's artificial implementation, in my mind, more, not intelligence at all. The AI technology here was programmed by scientists by using medical journals describing the effects of different molecules on the body. Then the AI analyzed over 4,000 chemical substances and isolated 21, only three of which were later selected, periplosin, gingitin, and oleandrin. Two of the three substances found were toxic for humans, but oleandrin was much more promising than the best-known anti-aging medicine, the report said. Let me offer to you, oleandrin is also toxic, and I got a link for that too. But I want to point out here for us for today, and all this AI that's coming down, it only takes in what the programmer puts into it. It was 4,000 substances. From that, it isolated 21. From that, it only found three. It's not a very high part of accuracy, correct? 21 to 3 is what we're looking at. Not something I want to rely on. And then you find out two of those was toxic, and then they lie in the story and say that, imply that the oleandrin is not. Now, oleandrin has some medicinal uses. Again, this is strong medicine for strong things. You better pay attention. In fact, for those of you that half listen to the broadcast, or before you turn away, don't do any of this at home. You really have to pay attention. If you're going to use these powerful medicinals, pay attention. If you're not half listening or half into something, don't even listen to what I'm saying here. There's serious ramifications for getting it wrong. AI used as an expert would get this wrong. Let me point this out. It's not that it can't be used as a tool again, but we can't use it as an expert. We can't use it as a reference. It's not you look again, you see that they tested it. It came up with an answer, and then they had to test those and test them again. Then you see the story kind of fibs a bit. Oleandrin, and here's a study, a systematic review of its natural sources, structural properties, detection methods, pharmacokinetics, and toxicology. Oh, toxicology here. Oleandrin has a narrow therapeutic window and exhibits various toxicities, especially typical cardiotoxicity, which is often fatal. The severe toxicity and low polarity have significantly hindered its application in the clinic. So this is a very specific type of compound. It was chosen as a proper compound by AI, and yet it is and it is not. And so this, I just want to continue to go on the idea. I don't see much reflection that people are not buying in already to AI and what it can do. I don't see people responding, just a couple of places that respond that, hey, this stuff is not really what it's chalked up to be. This isn't even the place where we have to take a moratorium, because it will, in my view, it would never will be something we can rely on, because we don't have perfect knowledge that it can be programmed with perfectly. if you understand the problems here. No. So I've just shown you AI can be used as a tool. We found something that might work after going after this this condition. It's an anti-cancer, antiviral, this type of thing. But it has its own trouble. You just don't, start taking tablets of it. Just like you don't take the advice, just take advice from this tool. You put all this information in, it comes up with a handful of responses, and those have to be checked because you find out they're not good. And of the ones that might be good, they are detrimental. This could be the answer to taking a vaccine. This could be an answer. I'm talking in the where the expert is using, the official is using these things, where they're making policy considerations based on this tool, where they're determining your social credit, where they're looking at you and assuming things on you, which you're going to find here in the tab to get to them here. But what the government's doing to us already, it's like a pre-crime thing. Google Cloud is partnering with Mayo Clinics as it tries to expand use of generated AI in healthcare. Now, I just showed you how you can go. The results are not too good. Do you want to be told that the toxic chemistry that they put out there is what will help you and find out after you're dead and they're picking your bones that it wasn't actually? The AI didn't quite get it right, and they said, oh, oops, sorry. Google Cloud on Wednesday said Mayo Clinic is using a new generative AI search tool that lets companies create customized chat bots. This is all we're going to just talk about it now. This kind of talks to our deaf committees and talking with them. Is that what we're going to do in the future? We'll be talking through our series and things to talk to this chat bot. It's based on the Google's view of the world. In healthcare, the technology should allow workers to interpret data such as a patient's medical history, imaging records, genomics, or labs more quickly and with a similar query. So let's look at that. Should allow to interpret. There's an interpretation. This is not just handing these experts the answer, these AIs that we're told are going to take over and run computers and robots and systems. Well, generative AI has become the hottest topic in tech. Healthcare presents an important challenge because there's little room for inaccurate results. And I've just showed you, just in one story, how they're inaccurate results. Understand, do not look past the steps that are going on when you start using AI, and they know that's still problematic. That all said, if we move on, there's other techniques. You don't have to go through AI. Maybe it's just a lot of scientific work. Very interesting study here. We're going to touch on these on mushrooms, but the fungus more importantly. I'm not going to get to climate change. Maybe that comes next week or something. More information, more facts to show you that there's a counter reality to this psychopathy that's running the world right now, taking farmers out of their land, taking away your modes of transportation, the fuels, the energy you're going to use, the expense to do it, all that. Scientists find potential antidote for world's deadliest mushroom. Very cool stuff. The death cap mushroom, of all things. And the answer was pretty interesting. How they got there was interesting, too, on a technique that I have denounced, but because they use it for gene modification for food for you or for therapies. In this case, they use the CRISPR technology as the gene editing technique, as they call it here, like the PCR technique. It's not an actual test. This is not something you actually should be doing in an organism to change its genomics because there's collateral damage that caused to you in your using of their product. But this was a gene editing technique where they were then use it as a screening system. Very cool stuff. More properly applied, it seemed to me, to find this antidote. In particular, is a prolific source of fungi cause misery. By some estimates, it's thought to cause more than 90% of mushroom-related deaths. To make matters worse, the death cap can be easily, I said it, Vince, mistaken for other actual edible mushrooms. And this truly is a big problem. Anybody who's done this going after mushrooms, they're pretty striking mushroom when you find them, but they also do kind of look like others. People don't pay close attention. Given this ongoing danger, scientists in China wanted to find a potential antidote to the death cap. They focused on alpha-amanitin, the mushroom's primary toxin. Despite its well-known reputation, scientists still don't fully understand why alpha-amanitin is so deadly to humans. So the teams relied on variety of methods, including a relatively new technology that uses the gene editing technique CRISPR. We call it CRISPR. to screen for chemicals that seem to help make alpha-aminotin as toxic as it is. Let me go back one quick point here. It says that scientists are doing this even though they still don't fully understand what's going on. And this is the intangible that's never going to be programmed into AI. And shows, again, an admission, we just don't know, we don't have perfect knowledge. We'll do things and have things done even though we don't know the mechanisms. And that could be fine, until it's not. Last little bit here, their expansive search led them to one potential key protein called STT3B. Now, they didn't use AI that I can see. They had to go through this long process in doing these gene editings and looking at the results and seeing what happened. So this was a seemingly pretty arduous task, but they did it, stuck with it. That's what science is. Then they looked, after doing that, they're looking and finding that protein, they looked at for existing drugs that might interfere with the interaction between STT3B and alpha-aminotin, finding indocyanine green, or ICG. Right, so it's a dye. It's really interesting. Very simple thing. Who would have thunk it, folks? And so what we have in this story explains that the high-throughput CRISPR screen was used to identify the pathways required for AMA-induced cell death. And what we get to is a dye that's in the system. I'll just read a little bit about it to show you hard work and science and looking and having the right tools may come up with something. And this is still a question. They have to now test it. ICG alleviates AMA toxicity in cells and liver organoids. Isn't that interesting? ICG, a fluorescent iodide dye, has been approved by the FDA as a diagnostic reagent in humans, new animals, since 1956, and is now widely used in ocular angiography and hepatic function assessment. ICG can be rapidly cleared by hepatocytes, and ICG has no obvious side effects as standard dose of 0.5 milligrams per kilogram. Enough there. It's just a dye. It's a known dye that's been around, and it has an effect on this toxin. How cool is that for people to know? And I don't know if you want to go down and grab that dye. It's not been proven quite yet. There's a couple of pathways that need to be checked. But how simple was that, right? And it took work of people looking closely. It still took the work to look and see if it worked. And it's still not done. They still have to do the test to see what's the best pathway to get that solved. And we can end a bunch of deaths. Anyway, we now know, for as deadly as that is, there may be an antidote. WHO member says agency needs to nullify these conspiracies about COVID vaccines. Instead of doing what these other guys are doing, trying to solve things, no, we're going to have this agency. The WHO, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or the little people from Whoville, but the WHO, the World Health Organization. Is that an agency? I don't think so, but they sure take a claim for it. They want to nullify, folks, nullify conspiracies. They call to crack down on dissent. WHO is sent to be granted new powers to target speech. Let me ask you, if you don't have perfect knowledge, isn't any expert talking from a level of misinformation? If a bunch of them get together on consensus, and aren't they a conspiracy that should be nullified and what's it, force and effect? I think this is a perfect proof that these folks need to be taken away and that they're not an agency. Well, they are, but not a governmental agency. So this is what you have to understand. They're an agency of their pharma broker status in the world to make profit and take control. They're working, though. This is the SMART thing where they're now realizing where their vulnerabilities, and they're going to call what the people like myself do as a group of us that do this, a conspiracy, and they need to nullify our voice. And so this is where we've been kind of going along, and I haven't really got to the misinformation, disinformation content that I want to get to. I'm going to do a little bit today, maybe get there. But they're trying to put themselves in a position to crack down on what they would claim to be a conspiracy of misinformation. They, in 2020, people challenged the expert guidance of COVID during the first few months of a pandemic, the use of the term misinformation in news articles almost doubled. This rapid increase in the use of the term by legacy media outlets was followed by an equally rapid rollout of big tech and misinformation rules, which targeted content that questioned the COVID guidance pushed by authorities. The WHO, the WHO, is an unelected global health agency. I don't agree with that statement in this story. They're not an agency. They're an agent for essentially a cartel, a public disease cartel. It's an agency in that regard, but not government. And you don't, I keep bringing these things up because this is a critical misunderstanding in writers, and you can't fall into it. The only authority you have, especially in the United States, is your local health official, and then there's duties that they have to conform to. None of that happened. You can't give these people, by these writers, even handing it to them, the status of an agency, even if the WHO wants to call itself that. They're not. They are an agent of destruction, but that's an agency. But we're talking, trying to speak into the side that's going to be helpful to people. This unelected global health expert, so-called, is less than a year away from finalizing an international pandemic treaty accord and amendments to the International Health Regulations of 2005, which I've all covered here, well, in as best as I could, to show you the reservations that show you that you're, at least in the United States of America, the states have the local authority that you need to rely on. And I think through rule of law, other nations that do the communicable disease law, you read it, it's all consistent. I don't care where you go on the globe, even though we have this difference in the United States, even your local health officials outside the United States have to comply with this thing, but they won't do it on their own. You have to do it the hard, they'll make you do it the hard way, which is how I was telling you about the habeas corpus, those kinds of things. These two instruments that they're talking about here to be adjusted will collectively give the World Health Organization vast new powers to target misinformation and increase its surveillance powers. And so this is starts this whole nonsense going toward this, the future they want relative to the technocracy that's involved. And let me, I want to just remind you as we're moving through this, this is where they're going. The impetus is this so-called treaty. I hope some of you that are working with your representatives are looking to show that they really can't even enter in the dialogue. This thing should not become, there's nothing that we can work with the WHO on that would respect local law. Nothing. And they proved it. And that's why I bring up all these stories or notice and evidence that we can't trust them to do what they should do. And they never take the role and never explain their role as not even an advisor. Just as a source of information. That's really all that they are. Which has no authority to declare a thing. Literally. Has no power in the world to do anything. And this came through. This story came through. The WHO member says the agency needs to nullify the conspiracies about COVID vaccines. My response through to that was, note to who? The WHO members. As a matter of local communicable disease law, hashtag, there is no vax. You also don't have any jurisdiction or authority to have an opinion in the United States of America. Health officials and governors take note to, hashtag, nullify the conspiracy, Operation Hindsight 2020. This is the ongoing notice. I guess if you put that in Twitter, Operation Hindsight 2020 with a pound, you'll get a lot of what I'm doing if you're interested. Find me to go through and see. It sounds dry and redundant, I suppose. It sounds the same over and over. It's kind of not. I respond in different ways, slightly different ways, to try and make a point to the one I'm responding to. In this case, I don't. This is no joke about sending a note. They didn't see it. The health officials and the governors take note. The point is that they were supposed to take notice of their own laws. And it's right there to show them the WHO has no jurisdiction or authority at all. And you have to know that. You have to see what's going on. They get no response to this, have no views to it. The point is it's the fact, it's the truth. And the officials, the senators or whomever's working the committees have to understand that there's a law that they cannot circumvent, and any agreement that they have that allows the WHO to have any overriding, any kind of a say, is a violation, absolute violation. And you're going to help some people are working on this. You'll have to explain that. You have to use the laws to do it. You have to get the opinion to be, there's nothing that the WHO can do that we already don't have already here. If they want policy that works everybody together, well, that's one thing, but to actually start to make any overriding, to submit something that's considered a treaty is a problem. That's the problem. They didn't just come at you and say, hey, we want to be the body that, you know, kind of ties everybody together to show you, share that information. They're not doing that. No, they want to do, you know, more surveillance and, as they say, come in and get into your life and be the arbiter. And we find out they work on, as a psychopath, without actual science. They call it science. It's epidemiology. It's cooking the books. I've gone through all this stuff. It's writing on the wall for us, and we need to counter that. because of, I really don't think this is going away in any aspect, even if it's not a so-called health emergency. Many subject matters are coming out of the farmers, or again, I want to go through the list. It's all these things that we hear, the modernization of things, your housing or the lack of it, your more ultimately the economy being destroyed, just to take it away from you and give you, put you into lease mode, into license mode, so you don't have any property and you like it. You'll be happy. But in the moment of the WHO, who cheerleaded all these things that came down, did not ever say they didn't have, although they didn't actually impose. Someone was arguing, said that we were, Kim.com said we were coerced, and I told him we're not coerced. Well, I got quite a couple of different responses that said I was an idiot about that, but that just tells me nobody knows and reads their local communicable disease law, because no one was coerced. You may have felt coerced, but there was no coercion, because your option was to either feel coerced or impose the duty of the local official to do what the duty of the law said before they could be given jurisdiction to do and tell you anything. And you can sit quiet while they go talk to your doctor at some point, while you're looking in, because he has the doctor, not he, but the doctor has the exclusive jurisdiction of your care, and you have a say, is how that was all supposed to be working. That people feel they were coerced just tells me they didn't know anything about their communicable disease law, and now they're feeling guilty about their own actions against themselves. I was coerced. Give me an excuse for being irresponsible to myself. But what were they irresponsible to as well was this third-party broker condition. COVID propaganda roundup. Pfizer new mRNA shot sickened infants in April of 2021. Now, we're getting this new so-called, this notice. Somebody sees this in June 08 of 2023. And I was telling it to you at this time when we were watching the numbers come in. Certainly way longer after I'd identified what was going on, and we should be avoiding that like the plague. See, the WHO needs to be avoided like the plague, because they are. They impose plague at warp speed. They're the broker, global broker for this stuff. Now, there's proof for this that you can use and say, the United States should not even be talking, speaking, should not recognize the WHO. In that regard, Trump was correct. I think it was he was going to defund all that. Absolutely. The UN as well, absolutely. And I think it's coming to that, even though it looks like that would make us go to the multipolar world where the United States is using that angle to beat down, brutalize everybody. I think the UN was set up not for the right reason, actually. You look back to the 1920s and the League of Nations. It wasn't set up like we would think that it was supposed to work. The Russians are right now in the China, the government, the world is starting to turn and think, try to adjust that, but the United States has now stepped out, and it wants to end it as well, but they want to end it as an ability to give the United States license to go beat on people, not to be peaceful. But COVID propaganda roundup, Pfizer knew. Of course they knew. Well, I was pointing to you, but here we have it for all those that need to see it, and it needs to be seen. So I want to present it, and it talks about your little ones, and it talks about the pathways that we were talking about, per internal Pfizer documents forced into the public domain by court decree. I got to stop here. So you see, it requires, silence is a killer here. If you don't press, if you don't figure out how to get this information, they're not giving it to you. And then you have to go through the courts in the proper way. I know I don't like it myself, but that's what they require us to do. I felt the millions, that there are the hundreds of millions that would see this fraud, would turn around and decide, okay, we're going to roll up our sleeves, and some of us would be able to pull this off and do this effort. Some did. And we get a court decree. And it points out these documents. And we know now that the company knew way back in April 2021 the risks its mRNA gene therapy posed to infants. And this was pregnancy and lactation cumulative review. I don't even understand why this is news here today, but finally it does come up, and it's more authoritative than you can get from the guy from the behind the witch hat, I suppose. You could see it with your eyes if you were looking. I was trying to point that out to people. This was a study as well. We're going to just go through quickly. 215 were involved in exposure during breastfeeding. In the remaining 41 cases, AEs were reported in infants following BNT162B2 exposure via lactation. It affected your little ones, just as we saw. If you're interested, get the link. Type it in. You type in the title. Get it yourself. You can do it while they're on the broadcast. I'd rather if you listen and take notes, but if you needed proof, here it is. I've got it for you if you didn't know where it was. This is an attack on your little ones. It always was. They admit it's gene therapy in this article. and this was never a vaccine. And it's always been a bioweapon. I identified all that. Like I said, I'm kind of really sad just watch the harm that's going on. People just now coming to terms with it. When this dies suddenly, I don't think it actually does anything justice, given that we don't have perfect knowledge on why, and the comorbidities are sitting there. I think it's there. The sudden deaths are going on around. I've never seen such a thing, but hearing more from people that on the ground, for lives being interrupted and caused harm by this, is just a sadness to me. I don't know what else more to do. All I can do is keep telling people, even though it sounds the same and repetitious in my tweets, relative to what should have been done, it's not going away. And what I'm saying can be used at any time to challenge. I even just told a doctor who's still being attacked. I said, why don't you go look at this thing and show that you had the ultimate authority and they had no opinion because they didn't do they didn't rely on a public order that was lawful. So the doctor doesn't really have anything to worry about at that point relative to the exclusive authority. If that doctor were to assert that on top of the rest of the stuff they want to do, and show that the people that are attacking her, the boards are attacking her, that didn't have their own official order that any of her patients was a principal of contagion, she's really free and clear. Well, I don't know why people don't get this. And until I start seeing the cases go through like that, and then the government body still saying that you're liable, then we'll see that's a different problem. Your government being corrupt is a different issue. We saw the corruption that was more of, let's see if people will stand up for themselves. And we didn't. And okay, we have nothing to worry about because no one stood up for themselves. So we found, here's the evidence here. It's affecting your little ones. I don't know what the news is, but if you need a study, record evidence, here we have it now. Collect it up for yourself. And if it's not Kobe swindle, it may be something else that you're going to bring to turn the attention to the mitigation that they want to force down your throat at some point. And you say, and some of these things today are, you got it wrong here and here and here. I can't trust you. I don't care what you say, you're a liar. You commit fraud and you're willing to promote fraud. And I can't trust your decisions to be accurate. And you need to have this basis and build a little folder for yourself. And I'm going to use it as a reminder of what can be done in other subject matter areas. As we hear this little interesting story, New York City teeming with rats infected with different COVID-19 strains, study warns. Now think about this, folks. Think about this, and I want you to consider, did they test the rats before the Kobe swindle started to see if maybe that was originating this? But listen inside the story. They say rats here. I thought it was bats, folks. As this moves along. What do you mean rats have got COVID? Would they get it from you? These rats got it from you, folks? No. This is an interesting story here. This is what you can use because it sounds like in Paris, they've had to make a deal. They're going to have to live with these rats. The I thought it was bats, though, folks. Here, look at Global Tracker released back in August 2022, been using the program for monitoring emerging disease, and the World Animal Health Information System revealed that the numerous animal species have caught COVID-19. Now, remember, COVID-19 is stuffy head, fever, itchy back, I've got clots, relief medicine type stuff. It's symptoms. They got the same symptoms as people, apparently, or the human animal. Including these animals were, including minks, hamsters, cats, and dogs, with the question now being whether animals can pass the virus back to humans. Where's the bats here, folks? These animals got this from us? All different variants? Anyway, we'll go on to the next paragraph and we'll end and move on. New York City's rats have been found to be infected with Alpha, Delta, and Omicron. That's the moronic variant of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, according to the study, not an official determination, though, a study carried out by a team of researchers from the University of Missouri for most some of you. Additional monitoring of the Big Apple's 8 million rodent population is being urged as the discovery triggered speculation that the rats could cause a respiratory disease to spread. Oh, this is only a respiratory disease. That's interesting. Why'd they mess your blood up? They didn't ever prove that SARS-CoV-2 did anything. We also know SARS-CoV-2 is a novel, and the patent is owned by the CDC. We'll go through all that again. I just want to remind you, you read these articles, we now have to worry about rats. They're planting the seed that this thing can spread again. We also understand that they'll go to the mutations. It's not going to be bats. Someone got a typographical error. It's now rats, folks. Those of you in France have got an interesting thing to look at. They're now making a living. Having to live in Paris with rats. You just can't get away from them, I guess. They got no answers for them. Yet they have the COVID swindle that you got. How'd they get the COVID swindle? I'm saying that, now it's nonsense, but they're utilizing this to set the seeds, and they're telling us that they're now worried about going back to humans, zoonotic transfer, and it's not bats. That this thing is an endless source of pool of corruption that they can always do and keep it going. And here's how another story coming to show how they continue to roll this forward and keep it around. Even if the coronavirus existed, it's the common cold, which they can't eradicate, and every animal now has common cold, and our COVID-19, which is seasonal influenza, they can't get rid of. And otherwise, that every animal has its seasonal influenza. Sounds pretty stupid on its face, but animals get sneezes and sniffles too. But they're seasonal. There's nothing we can do with it. It's underwritten in that story that they're making a big threat if you believe in it. Giving them anything, we just have seasonal sickness and symptoms. It'll pass. But now it's in the rats. But we can't get rid of the rats. And I know I haven't heard any Pied Pipers, and last time we used them, we lost all our kids. So maybe that's not a good answer. But here we have now, it's another encroachment of the disease. And this is almost touching the needle that I talk about. When does a real thing come up? And I'm not sure if this is it or not, but this could be one. These hemorrhagic fevers are serious. I think they're the ones that seem to me to be most actual, natural, virulent type things. Virus, which kills one person a second, likely to be heading to the UK. Now, I didn't go through and find out about the virus that kills one person a second. Sounds like a lot of people, and it likely is. But there's lots of people dying all the time. How they can figure out it's this thing, I don't know. Especially with the COVID swindle, they can just do a test that shows positives all the time. We saw that when papaya could get the COVID virus too. Remember, it wasn't just the animals. Papaya could get it too. Government has been warned that doctors need to be aware of the symptoms. Okay, important. This is important that way if we do have this virus, but I want to show you something. Closed system, closed house, closed stories, closed fake fairy tales. A virus that kills one person every second is highly likely to be heading to the UK thanks to climate change. Can I stop reading now? Now, let me go back. Climate change. When they know, we know it's a political transformation, that climate change is politics, not the weather. Let me go back to that El Nino. It's causing the change, right? Not climate change. We already know it says it's a global influencer. So, right off the bat, I don't have to read this story more. This is a setup. Though, the UK government has been warned about Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, CCHF, which has a mortality rate of up to 40% as it's spread by ticks or animal tissue. I don't want to fearmonger here, but this year the ticks have been just terrible. 2 years are good years. This year has probably been the worst I've ever known. Doesn't mean that it's happening here. The point is that these are the vectors for disease, and if you can get rid of some of this, maybe it's not a factor. CCHF is on the World Health Organization's list of priority diseases, and it's found in Eastern Europe and now France. Well, due to climate change. No, likely El Nino, where the air is heating up, and globally the jet stream is moving the air to heat things up and expands the equator because its water's heating up. And these animals, these critters, these vectors can rise up going north. It's a cycle. And you should be looking up for this one, if that's the case, if it's naturally transmittable. Other diseases the UK has been warned about to look out for include deadly Rift Valley fever, Zika, and breakbone fever. Again, you got to choose your poison, I guess, on these, and what might be real and what might not. I want to point out that there could be some real things going on here, natural cycles that they're just feeding into. They want to make themselves relevant. You should know about this stuff. There's a needle out there, possibly, that's natural that can kill people. We need to know about that. the government, the WHO, the rock, not the rock over their owl, the little people, who will, the World Health Organization failed us. Public health failed us. When they didn't identify and show they could identify the swindle, they showed that they will likely not be able to identify the needle that's coming to stick everybody. And I'm not talking about a jab. I'm talking about maybe the one coming from that mosquito or tick that bites you, that actually can pass you something. And we don't want to be the doctors with the herbs in our long nose and the mask we put on when we have around us fleas that are ankle biting us to avoid a plague. That's the needle I'm talking about. This issue that happened with the COVID swindle showed us that the so-called health system, I don't care if you give authority to the WHO, was incapable of showing us the fraud, that it wasn't a thing. And that shows us that they likely can't find the thing, especially when they're trying to run their own scam. I guess I won't say much more than that. People in UK are being told and warned, likely, we don't know, but likely there's something coming up from the equator. And it might be there. So beware on this. But it's really a fear tactic. Because don't forget, and I want to bring this up, it's an older article, but it's an article, so I brought it up for us real quick. U.S. military runs COVID vaccines, former pharma exec tells RFK Jr. And this is the information and the contracts and the study that was done by Alexandra Latapova. I just want to remind you, where she identified by contract, not some guy behind the woodshed who predicted it, medical martial law, and the military moving it through as an extension of 9/11 and the fulfillment of where they want to take this place, globally now in control. She points out the contract from the DOD. Don't ever forget this, all this that the WHO was brokering and the connection that they have to the United States is United States driven. And if you lose that little detail, I think you lose a lot of the perspective of where, what's really going on. And that's another point why you have to be very careful on approaching, on how you work this out. They're working on levels of authority that are totally out of the pale, that if you don't see it, you don't realize what you have to speak to. And if we get a little hint that the military is involved, even in the names, where we find out, welcome to CDC's elite epidemic intelligence services. Intelligence services. No, it's not good enough that they are going to give us information. No, they have to do more integrated surveillance, right? They have to do what an intelligence service was for national security. And by not doing that, we end up having the problem that they, mission, can I call it mission creep even? No, it's his own plan. So the CDC has a quasi-secret equivalent of the CIA, but for diseases. The Epidemic Intelligence Service appears to be filled with technocrats who represent science and who are engaged in clandestine operations designed to control the narrative of infectious diseases. COVID-19 appears to be the classic intelligence-style operation. As this is exactly what I've been saying, perception management, been talking about this for a while. The website here, Technocracy News and Trends, is usually onto this stuff. Not to diminish anything he's saying here, I'm saying that this was seeable up front, and now we're seeing the efforts, and the government is not stopping. You don't put this stuff together, and you don't hold them together like this unless you mean, well, ill. Be ill, they don't need an intelligence service like a CIA, but that's what they're putting together. Should really explain everything that you need. And this surveillance and this intelligence service needs information. And the WHO is right on cue here, now coming in and already implemented. The WHO global vaccine passports go live in Europe. I don't even know what more to say. That should tell you really a lot, all you need. But I'll just enter in a bit here. As the World Health Organization pandemic treaties bear fruit, the mark of the beast has arrived in Europe. Everything the public health experts have done since the start of COVID-19 pandemic has led to this moment of triumph for the global technocracy. I guess I could continue reading. I don't know why I would have to. To me, the title says it all. It's happening and it's going on in Europe. It's not going to stop just in Europe. And there's many, I've done many reports on how the internals of the United States of America, at least, are working to bring that in fulfilling, and your seats of decision, your legislature, are okay with this. I don't know why they're okay, but they're okay with it. So here we have, what does this mean? Global passports. these vaccine passports, and they're going to control where you go, when you go, how you go. Again, a bit of social credit here. And they want to facilitate global mobility. And what that means is immobilizing anti-vaxxers. So you see these words have a dual meaning. The dual use, it works through the psychological warfare. The facilitate global mobility is to stop anybody who has a contrary thought. Now, I don't know how they have the right to do that. I guess it's not for me to decide. We have a right to travel. I don't know why they would have an ability to interfere with us when they're nobody, actually. And yet, it will be purported that they're being given authority to do that. And your governments are already supporting the fact that if you don't have this, you don't have any mobility. Well, that's not much different than any other of the controls that they're doing, no different than the CBDC that will say when you do not aspire to our ESG liabilities, we're going to cut you off. And you're going to hear about that if I get there. So what's that about the global vaccine? A global database of information. Now, they claim this is just an agency of a non-governmental organization. I don't know the authority of it, but there we have it. All this information has to go into a database. It's going to be stored somewhere. As we hear this story, millions of Turkish residents' private data leaked online. We're talking 80 million. It's almost the entire population of Turkey was leaked online. Not leaked. It was put online. You can go get some information. Everything that the government had. They had a central database, essentially, had all the information. Even Erdogan's stuff, information was there. Whatever you did with the system, whatever bank accounts you had, your deeds, your house number, where you lived, what you did, was put on the internet for free in parts, but if you wanted the real juicy information, you had to pay for a membership. Point being is the databases are hackable, as I've been saying. Someone did it. Someone works to do it. And if you think that this would be global vaccine passports from the WHO are not susceptible to this, you're deluded. And it doesn't mean just the WHO. Anybody that has a database, you're now hearing, and you have been hearing, this is a problem. It can happen at any time. Although this issue has not come to the agenda for the first time, it shows that there is a very serious data security problem on the part of the state. And the problem is the personal's data is passing from hand to hand on digital platforms rather than the existence of such a website. The website in the state was told this was a problem. They did nothing. And this is what starts to happen. Even if they did something, it's still hackable. You want to go to a global passport that the WHO has available to your information? I don't know that that's the future that you want. Turkish citizens' personal data offered online on government-hacked website, the fruition of what they did in a major digital security breach. A website is offering personal data about Turkish citizens, including President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, that appears to have been stolen by hackers from a government services website. The WHO any different? It's a database. It's on a computer. It's hackable. Is that what you want to do? Is that what the government, the senators, are making a treaty with the WHO to do? How do they protect against that? Is another element here about why this is really not possible. Internally, it's not possible. For the same reason. If you think it's out there, that the hacking is out there, we heard again, and all in the same week, to remind us, if we didn't know better, U.S. government agencies, including the Energy Department, targeted in latest global cyber attack. This is like breaking news. It was just coming down, rolling down on these links, come and put them together. I just couldn't get them up fast enough. I mean, again, there's just so much content to get through. A global cyber attack targeting a widely used file transfer service has hit multiple U.S. government agencies. Federal officials announced Thursday, joining a string of recent hacks on the private organizations that have been largely blamed on Russian-speaking criminal groups. Now, we can read more and more. Near the end of the study, they say, well, we were told about the Chinese doing it, too. All I'm going to point out is these are databases that foreign, even if you call them enemies, or even hackers groups sympathetic to their own government, are hacking information, and it's just not safe. That we want to make another database that's given to a non-governmental organization foreign to us, and on foreign soil, if you will, in order to do what? Nothing but harm. Nothing the WHO has done, except they admit in that one, they're telling you about the hemorrhagic fever, it was information that this was happening. I don't have a problem with that part. Just open the website. I don't worry about hacking either, do I? I just keep track. I can put that on my little RSS feed. What's the new thing I got to concern myself? What does it look like? That's all I need from the WHO if they're going to be in that capacity. But no, it goes further. And we're seeing not in the United States with the dominance, supposedly the cybersecurity dominance, is able to protect even itself. Now, again, I could read all these stories. There's points it's going to take just the time it takes. I don't know why I should have to read it. I guess I could point out that, and I'm wondering if this is a self-inflicted wound I keep telling you about, because the Shell Oil Company, the BBC, British Airways, Johns Hopkins University, and the state of Minnesota say they were impacted by earlier attacks of the MOVE, Move It, app and the program, in some cases due to attacks their payroll company. The point is, we hear Johns Hopkins got their little name in the news. They're susceptible to attack. These are all part of the people that are involved in all your data acquisitions, keeping track of you, the surveillance where they do all their studies. So we can, again, read how susceptible all this information is. Turkey, a whole government, a whole nation of people were just exposed online by a hacker. And we want to make more databases for this stuff. And do nothing, actually. Understand, that's not doing anything. It's just a matter of surveilling you. That's coming to some scrutiny. It should be. Congress to investigate WHO plans to use, quote, listening surveillance systems to identify misinformation. And this shows you the bigger problem within the context of the so-called treaty that's being offered for acceptance, where they're trying to integrate a full global response to, again, the endless diseases they fabricate. But listening surveillance systems, because they're going to figure out where the anti-vaxxers are and the misinformation that's coming from them, even though you can say, I'm not anti-vaxxer, and yet what you're offering isn't a vaccine, they would say that's misinformation. And certainly it would be, where their whole scam is to promote their products. If you've been following the reporting on the issue, you'll already know that the new World Health Organization Pandemic Preventative Initiative, the Preparedness and Resilience for Emerging Threats, recommends using social listening surveillance system to identify misinformation. But as more people are learning about the unelected bodies are being used to suppress speech and potentially override sovereignty, it's starting to get more pushback. And this is the point. Silence is not an answer. You do have to figure out where you can push back. According to documents, the UN agency PRET aims to guide countries in pandemic planning and work to incorporate the latest tools and approaches for shared learning and collective action. No individual you there. Shared learning is like shared prosperity. It's an obligation and liability. Shared learning and collective action established during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's already been done and set what they're going to do, you see. The PRT document describes misinformation as a health threat and refers to it as infodemic. And the ones who caused this pandemic was those that declared it, because it didn't exist, and the pandemic doesn't exist in your local jurisdictions. Only epidemics and outbreaks do. Infodemic is the overabundance of information, accurate or not, including theirs, obviously, which makes it difficult for individuals to adopt behaviors that will protect their health and the health of their families and communities. This is what I'm trying to get you to do, but they would call my work to be an infodemic, I suppose. One-man infodemic. Pretty neat, huh? See, your information is powerful. What you know is true is power. But they point out, in even the title of this, the resilience for emerging threats, is not about health and about the threats that they're going to put to you. It's you. You're the threat. And all this is about controlling you if you have a contrary thought to the behavior they want. And what's that behavior, and how do they keep track and surveillance? And you think it's out there and just the WHO. Here's what your boss might be able to see while you're at work. Workplace software like Microsoft, Google Workspace, Slack, and Zoom log certain activities that can be accessed by your employer. Most of the activities you do online, like browsing the internet or interacting on social media, leave a digital footprint. The same is often true when using digital workplace tools. The software you use to do tasks like collaborate with your colleagues, host meetings, or create digital files often tracks certain activities for various purposes, in many cases for safety, security, or compliance. I guess in your own home, that's important. Wow. That said, your employer may be able to access activity logs though it may be a complex process, and piece together where you have been spending your time. As workforces have become increasingly distributed during pandemic, the workers should be aware what data is being collected. And if you read it more, you find out it's almost endless what they can start to collect. Is that the idea and the attitude by the company, Microsoft, is you can't just focus on the things that we may think is happening, said Sunita Khatri, a senior director of product marketing at Microsoft. You have to look at what's really happening. That requires them looking at you and figuring out ways in. And we mentioned Microsoft here. Companies have their own private software that do these kinds of things. And it can be quite a problem in order to keep them from looking in and monitoring what's going on to see where you've been, what you're actually doing relative to their metadata. We can read about that. It's the incursion in many ways, and we bring more to this, what the control there, it's all into make a decision to control you. But we also see what smart does and what interaction with the web is, and someone making a decision when they're hooked up to what you're doing, the action can be immediate, and that evidence is in this report here. Amazon confirms they shut off a man's smart home because a random guy said the homeowner was a racist. Well, one of the problems was, at the time, the homeowner wasn't even home, and what the Amazon delivery guy heard was a machine speaking to him, and he misinterpreted it. For that pleasure and enjoyment, the homeowner, Amazon, turned off the entire home, which was a smart home. Everything that the gentleman had in the home was automatic and controlled and monitored by the Amazon company. The video shared here in Lewis Rossman does some interesting stuff. He did the right to repair stuff. He's on a lot of this, and somebody maybe you listen to periodically. He was got a report about one of his listeners that this happened to. And so he wanted to make that report. There's other issues, other reports coming out in a letter that was written by the homeowner. It said that maybe that might be a setup. I'm not going to worry about all that. This is what they can do. You just understand this is what they can do. They make the decision immediately. They made it on an accusation, and they didn't follow up before they took action to take you out of all your capacity, your use. And understand this is not much different at all than the CBDC. When Amazon's liability, they claim, to protect their employee overrode your right to due process because you don't own anything, and you're going to be happy. And they get to shut you off, and until you convince them to turn you back on, you don't get back on. And that's what this story shows us that can happen and did happen, as Amazon did admit to this. The Lewis Rossman alleged Amazon shut down one of his viewers' smart homes. He subsequently detailed the process and he had to go through to get his devices back up and running. The homeowner did. It all started when Amazon delivery driver dropped off a package at the man's home. The smart doorbell said something to the driver like, "Can I help you?" But the driver, who allegedly had headphones on, alleged the device made a racist remark. Following the allegation, Amazon shut down the homeowner's smart home products. After a significant amount of back and forth and an internal investigation, the company decided to release control of them. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know why we have this so-called smart home being run by Amazon. I don't know why people think they need this stuff, but this shows you the amount of control. I don't see this as any other example than what your CBDC is going to be when any third party decides you don't own a thing, they control it, they have the switch, and you've just violated a liability that they have with your behavior, whether or not it's true. And look at the hassle after the fact. You're, again, not presumed innocent, are you? No, the third party has control of your life. How Amazon outage left smart homes not so smart after all. This isn't even just, I found, I went real quick to look and see, what about these smart homes now? What else goes on? This was someone making an unsubstantiatable claim of racism that was enough to do that. But what about the automatics of all this, you know, the system? The outage of Amazon Incorporated's cloud computing arm left thousands of people in the U.S. without working fridges, Roombas, and doorbells. Roombas, folks. We talked about those behind the shed. Roombas and doorbells, highlighting just how reliant people have become on the company as an Internet of Things. Remember, that's an Internet of Battlefield of Things proliferates across homes. That is self-inflicted wounds about people causing their own harm. I don't know why people are doing this, but this shows you the control, again, that functions now already before we get to the CBDC that works on the same principle. It is the future they want. It's control, it's instantaneous control, and you'll pay Hades to try and get it fixed. How many people have been hit with YouTube censorship issues? They can't turn them over. It's the same problem. This is the future when you're tied up to a surveillance system. And this is totally foreboding, I would suspect, to the representatives of the Senate working on a treaty to the WHO. They don't have authority, this kind of authority, period. They don't have to play the doublespeak. They have no right to do that. The best they should be and left to be, and they don't need a treaty for it, is to be an information source. And that information source is based, if you will, in capitalism. The fact that they're telling you true information, we can agree or not agree based on their integrity, doesn't need a treaty. So all this extra is telling you there's something seriously wrong, and the longer we stay silent, the worse this thing gets, comes on us. We're already watching the effects of it. It seems like that guy over there, and oh, poor him, and sorry. No, this is serious, and people don't recognize in the other themselves. But what's the limit of all this surveillance? Well, I guess there is a limit, and this is what I keep suggesting. It takes a lot more to get it. You presumed wrong, and then you got to go fight. That's not peace, and that's what I have my main problem with all this part of the so-called government we live in, freedom. It's really not. It's all been put into question unless someone says it's okay. And that shows us that we don't live in the place that we're designed, because that's really, when you look at what it was supposed to be, our presumption of innocence did carry the day. Federal judge makes history. Why is he making history here in this title? Why is it that he's making history? This shouldn't have even been an issue that was a question, but he makes history because it's the first time this has ever happened. Despite it should have never been an issue. Federal judge makes history in holding that border searches of cell phones require a warrant. Really? Wow, who would have thought that? Can you imagine these people, kids coming up here in another 20, 30 years? They ever heard their stuff? What's a warrant? With the United States versus Smith, May 11, 2023, a district court judge in New York made history by being the first court to rule that a warrant is required for a cell phone search at the border. Quote, absent exigent circumstances, close quote, although other district courts have wanted to do so. Why didn't they? Law was ruling. But here we go. Exigent circumstances. Don't I feel cool? How long have I been saying that about COVID swindle? Where was the exigent circumstance? See, in this country, United States, and everywhere there's supposed to be rule of law by law, the presumption of it sits on you, and there has to be an exigent circumstance that allows a government or a governing body or even an agency authority to do a thing. Anyway, this was historic. That's surprising to me, but it was. That's a shame. But let's use it. All right? So for those of you that are going over the border, it needed a warrant. You got to figure out now what this case allowed, what it didn't allow, how you protect that so they don't do it again, because they'll push it. They keep pressing where they have no right. We're seeing that a lot. I wrote some Twitter to that, too, where they have no right. Oh, it's Akeem.com, I think, to his attorney. Relative to the information they pose, they are making a concocted fraud, which is barred. It's a barred fraud. Fraud is barred. Barred fraud in Kim.com's case. The other side, the United States, makes a concocted fraud, which is fraud. And it's barred by Supreme Court authority. Why is it still persisting? Is our problem in this country. The agency, these criminals, these officials under color of authority, proper lawful authority, are criminals, are abusing the system, and there's no accountability. And you're watching, well, the feign of accountability and what's going on with the Biden thing and the Trump thing and all this other nonsense going on is another main problem. It's not stopping. It's going to be up to us somehow to stop a part of that. And I just, for each one of you, I wanted you, each one of you, to be able to protect yourself. It's what this broadcast is all about. You put the marks on that beast. You don't let it put marks on you. And part of that is just don't engage. And when they do, be ready, be prepared. And the COVID swindle for me was that way to tell you, here's how you do this. In one example, here's how you do that. Because this thing ain't going away. And here we are, the TAB report. Biden censorship lawyers say questioning masks and vaccines often won't be protected by the First Amendment. Now, where they come up with this, I don't know. But if you listen to what I'm saying, I'm not even talking about using the First Amendment to protect your speech. I'm saying you go work in the duties of the local official that cuts out the federal government, well, completely. Now, why has this come up? We're going to come to a fair point. But the judge presiding over the lawsuit filed by Missouri in Louisiana alleging collusion between the federal government and social media companies to censor certain viewpoints is said to have asked if the Biden administration has ever read George Orwell's 1984. The transcript of the hearing is not yet available. However, Missouri's Attorney General Andrew Bailey shared some of the statements made by Judge Terry A. Duarte. I have to say something here about Missouri. Partly it's a joke. I'm suggesting to you that Missouri is also a state. I don't know if I got the tab. They're promoting digital IDs. So Missouri's coming if it's not Missouri now. The quote, the federal government had a hard time convincing a judge last week that it hasn't been working with and coercing social media companies to censor free speech, Bailey tweeted. The judge asked the feds if they had ever read George Orwell's 1984, pointing out the similarities between the case and the book, he added. Bailey also tweeted that Duarte asked the federal government about their views on protected speech. He asked if an American citizen questioning the safety or efficacy of masks or vaccines was protected under the First Amendment, Bailey recalled. The feds' answer? It could be, but often won't be. Now, you can read the rest of this story. This is the attitude of the government. No respect whatsoever for you, your rights, or protected, ahead of time, protected constitutional reservations of power from the government is our problem. And no one's really speaking up. And I'm not asking you to talk about, in what I'm saying that you should do, am I asking you that you question the safety and efficacy. I'm asking you to make sure that the local official follows the local communicable disease code. They have to prove it. And then it's only a negotiation. It's not a dictatorship if you read your communicable disease law. So I've been suggesting to you a way to not argue and walk into the face of a beast that doesn't listen to your rights anyway. I'm showing you that you have nothing to say until they function properly and lawfully. And the feds are completely out of it right there for health matters. White House bans trans influencer for disrespectful nudity. So we have no freedom of speech rights, and the one who does, would think that would get the protection, shows disrespectful nudity. I guess that's an expression, free expression. But the White House banned that as well. In this way, I think it's properly so. What brings up another issue that I haven't talked about, don't get into it too much. It's distasteful, if I can say that. The White House bans a trans influencer for disrespectful nudity. Rose Montoya stripped at Pride event attended by President Joe Biden. The White House has permanently banned transgender influencer Rose Montoya from future events after it exposed its breasts to a gay pride party on the president's South Lawn on Saturday. President Biden described attendees at the party as the bravest and most inspiring people I've ever known. Well, I want to take a little bit of an issue with that. I have before. It's not even about people or the trans. It has to do with what motivates that. And I have been in my past, in my experience, and talking with people who, again, pride has been conflated to all this LGBT stuff. It was really only gay pride. It was only about gay. It was essentially, from my understanding, where I remembered seeing it first, was out of San Francisco doing parades. It was gay pride parades. Now it's conflated to everything. But that is a problem. My findings and my talking with people found that I've not found one case of someone who wasn't abused as a youngster in some way that seems to be part and parcel to this problem. Well, I'm not just the only one that kind of thinks that. There's actually John Hopkins, of all places, John Hopkins psychiatrist drops truth bomb about transgenders. And liberals are furious, and this is an older story. And this is what I see this stuff, and I wonder when this story was out there, why they still push past to make this an issue. Why would we see someone who has respect and, it might be a prude here to say, modesty, exposing its breasts in the White House, totally out of place, and the woman that tried to make herself look like a man was now topless. I think I saw pornography right there on the lawn there, because I wasn't looking at a man. I was looking at a deformed woman, naked, well, top heavy. Where does this stop is finding out the cause. Why are we even having to look at this? And I have a problem that we are helping, not maybe my listener, maybe my listener. I don't know who does what anybody believes. We're helping an underlying problem. We're not getting at the cause, which I think is a mental issue. And once we clear the mental issue, then we'll be able to see the real thing, if there's anything left. But I'm not the only one. Here's this John Hopkins psychiatrist dropped some truth bombs. This story starts out, it is simply amazing how such a tiny minority in our country, just 0.3%, has forced the national debate about whether public bathroom they visit should or should not match the gender of their plumbing. And I see our states are coming out and they're denouncing all of this again. They're trying to come into their senses a little bit. This is not about what someone believes their gender is. And this is the main problem of this. This is what has been identified by people who do the study. And this Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University and former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins, who has studied transgendered people for 40 years, says it is a scientific fact that, quote, transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. All such people, he explained in the article for the Witherspoon Institute, quote, become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex which they identify. Dr. Hugh McHugh, who was a psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital for 26 years, the medical institute that had initially pioneered sex change surgery and later ceased the practice, stressed that the cultural meme or idea that, quote, one sex is fluid and a matter of choice, close quote, is extremely damaging, especially to young people. Now we see the drag situation on kids as they move this, what can be identified as having a psychiatric term to describe it, called gender dysphoria. It's a psychiatric condition. It's not an accident of birth. The official psychiatric term for feeling oneself to be of the opposite sex belongs in the family of similar disorder assumptions about the body, such as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder, said McHugh. Its treatment should not be directed at the body as the surgery or hormones any more than one mistreats obesity-fearing anorexic patients with liposuction. I'll end there. You can read more. It's fairly well straight up about what this is going on. What's happening, and 0.3% is all that we're talking about. But we're talking about no different, in my mind, SSRIs relative to the gun control. You don't go focus on the underlying mental health problem. You put them on drugs that actually put them over the edge, and then we have a gun control problem. And I mean, they controlled the gun by killing people they shouldn't be doing because they're out of their mind. It all starts with a mental incapacity that hasn't been, it's either been ignored, has been improperly diagnosed, improperly treated, or isn't been yet identified or appreciated. I would like to see people get the help they need. I don't want to see the insult. They don't even know that it's an insult to themselves. And why would we think so? But these people that may have these problems are put in high places anymore. They're promoted. We now have a flag. The disrespect going on to the White House Capitol flying a multicolored flag as a banner, totally disregarding the law. But I say there was a question about this on Twitter. It completely tells a message. It's sending a message. The president said he's sending a message as to the fact that you likely don't live underneath those laws anymore. And people of mental dysfunction of some sort that's undiagnosed or untreated are actually being put in places of decision and control. Transgenderism, it's time to state the obvious. This is Dr. Rachel Levine. It's not Rachel. I don't know what the real name is, but Gay Advocacy publication described Dr. Levine this way. Rachel Levine is very much regarded in the fields of pediatrics, psychiatry, and social well-being. This almost sounded like child services. You put the pedophile right in child services and you exploit the kids. You put, as a pedophile, that's the best place you want to be. That read no different to me right there. They neglect to mention Dr. Levine has advocated for allowing persons who are below the age of sexual consent to get hormone blockers and genital mutilation, causing irreversible damage. He must not have gone to Dr. Yu's class at Johns Hopkins to understand that was all discontinued because it doesn't work. The new 4-star admiral Understand this. This guy, Rachel Levine, the new four-star admiral and HHS assistant secretary for health, believes your 13-year-old is too young to consent to sexual intercourse, but is old enough and mature enough to make life-altering decisions on taking hormone inhibitors and prevent normal puberty and to get surgery removing or altering his or her genitalia without parental consent. Perhaps Levine's own mental health has impacted that opinion on children. During the admiral's Senate hearings, the LGBTQ media described legitimate questions from Senator Rand Paul himself and MD about gender identity as, quote, rude, invasive questioning, close quote. And so this is what's been put into position of control. And this is, again, remember, this is a four-star admiral in charge of your health. If you didn't understand the coherence relative to the DOD running COVID and the other things that are detrimental to what you thought America was in its wholesome sense, and where we actually offer people help and family helps each other, all that's being destroyed. Again, the plan, the future they want. If you have to put yourself into these places of lack of foundation, you're more susceptible to this sort of thing. But you're dealing with a four-star admiral, apparently, with this guy, who looks to me, and the professor Yu says, has an underlying psychiatric problem. And I think that's not inconsequential to what we have to start presenting if we want to protect our, at least our little ones. I mean, at some point you have a decision to make. But again, modesty, being a prude a bit, not being so forced, you don't have to, there's no theater about it. When you make a theater, as a gay friend, my gay friend told me years and decades ago, that's where it broke over the line for the gay community. There's no need to be, they wanted, you know, keep it in the bedroom kind of thing. It was plenty fine for them, but it's, they realized then, I was told by him then, this was going to become an issue to what we see today. And it's all driven, as I was noticing, by an underlying psychiatric problem that's not being treated. And that's what's sad to me. I want people to be healthy, but we're not seeing it. And it's indicative of a sick society anyway, and you make them sick, and you impose sickness, and then you attack those that would say, but you're sick. Well, let's get you help. And the sickness is not going away, as we see White House brings back face mask social distances for the unvaccinated. If you thought Democrats were done pushing the COVID hysteria, think again. Despite announcing an end to the authoritarian and COVID-19 government mandates, the Biden White House requires guests to practice social distancing and wear masks during their visit. The mandates, however, will only target those who are unvaccinated. Now, you could participate, you can put on the mask, or whatever you want to do. I find that just fascinating. I don't want to get through it more, but or you can insist or make an issue of it. For those of you that are going to go to the White House, you make an issue of this relative to the local D.C. now, communicable disease law, not have given you the requirement to do so and not found you to be the infectious principal, and you put it on them. You make that an issue. Whether you win is irrelevant. You show people how that's supposed to be done. You put the target back on the White House, on Biden. And you show them the objective law that's been violated. Even for D.C., a non-state, it's there, the same thing. The unvaccinated get hit. And so, again, this is not free speech for you. They want to put you in a muzzle. They want to control your expression. And they want to do it without the benefit of the law that protects you, and you're not insisting. You know, a lot of these things you can avoid. But I suppose when you get on the White House lawn and watch somebody bare their false breasts before you, and someone who has a topless shirt is actually a woman that's deformed herself because she hasn't had an underlying psychiatric issue treated, we're almost walking past the victims and the wounded for the benefit of putting on our mask to look just as disfigured relative to reality. Now, I don't know what everybody thinks about this stuff, but I think it went crazy because we allowed it to go crazy. Yeah, it's not too fun to come up against crazy people, but that's what we're dealing with. And they're in the place, this guy in the White House has to be, well, if it's not dementia, because he didn't figure out that there might be something he could do, if it's not dementia, then he's just as crazy as the rest. And I think if he's got those jabs that we saw, and they were real, again, that's a question, isn't it? But if they were real, he's jab harmed as well. It proves that you weren't supposed to get any of this stuff on top of it. But again, the government's trying to control our speech, wants to control the dissemination of information, decide what's disinformation. I found this news story about Jack Teixeira. As I said, it was Portuguese, and it's Teixeira, Teixeira, and how I'm pronouncing it. I want it Teixeira, nice and simple for an American in Texas, I suppose. Teixeira has now been brought before the court to answer to the indictment over mishandling of classified documents. What I find fascinating here, I'll read just this little quote, and then we'll move on again, but mistreatment, the hypocrisy, how they treat information, what's not information, what there is, what there isn't, what they'll charge you after they've admitted to certain things. As laid out in the indictment, Jack Teixeira was entrusted by the United States government with access to classified national defense information, including information that reasonably could be expected to cause exceptionally grave damage to national security if shared, said Attorney General Merrick Garland. And he's that kid, 21-year-old Jack Teixeira, that was used the Thug Shaker Central Discord channel to disseminate information, supposedly top secret and secret. But I want to recall your attention. I don't know what this kid did, bad, right, or indifferent, what he shouldn't have done. That's all up to what they're going to find out, if you can find out the truth of this. What I want you to remember is the government said they didn't know what was truth and what wasn't. They admitted there was some that was not. How they come to this point that it would be known, reasonably could be expected to be exceptionally grave damage, is really a problem for me on this one. Maybe they have some of that. But where the government came out and said, we don't know what it is and what it can do, it seems to me that they gave him the right to not know himself. And so I just wanted to point out that the control of information by the government is part and parcel to, I would say, the war against us, and always has been. All they got to do is kick it underneath national security interests of some sort, and they can control you. They already just said your objection to a face mask may not be protected by the First Amendment. And in anticipation that I've shown you, you don't have to speak in those terms at all, so it's not relevant. You speak in terms of the duty by the government, or the showing that it doesn't have authority in the first place, until it meets its duties in a limited form of government authority. And to show you the control the government has on what is crime and what isn't, where they go after Teixeira for whatever he exposed, Biden's spokeswoman broke the law. The Office of Special Counsel found Karine Jean-Pierre in violation of the Hatch Act. U.S. President Joe Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, violated a law prohibiting government employees from engaging in partisan politics and has received a warning letter from the Office of Special Counsel, a nonprofit that filed a complaint against her revealed on Tuesday. Protect the Public's Trust, run by former Trump administrator official Michael Chamberlain, had objected to Jean-Pierre's use of the phrase MEGA MAGA, Republican officials who don't believe in the rule of law, ahead of the 2022 midterms. In doing so, they claimed she violated the Hatch Act by using her official authority, quote, for the purpose of interfering with or affecting the result of an election. While the OSC investigation found that Jean-Pierre's use of MEGA MAGA had indeed violated the Hatch Act, quote, we have decided not to pursue disciplinary action and have instead issued Ms. Jean-Pierre a warning letter. The agency's Hatch Act chief, Anna Galindo Marone said in a letter to Chamberlain dated June 7th. Next piece of content, just to read a better clip of this statement here. Because Ms. Jean-Pierre made the statements while acting in her official capacity, she violated the Hatch Act prohibition against using her official authority or influence for the purpose of interfering with or affecting the result of an election. So this is, again, specific to that employment. Go back. They're not going to charge her. Now, what's more important on top of all this is that they're allowing election interference with nothing more than a warning letter. We thought that elections were the highest pinnacle of so-called democracy. Your vote was supposed to mean something. Apparently, influencing your vote is only worth a warning. Again, the control of information, the accountability, the lack of accountability gets us through to where we are today, but we see people with psychiatric problems are running the place. There's no respect for anything, it seems, anymore. Certainly not law. And we have these agencies that run in between, that run cover, and give so-called plausible justification for what you, anybody who believes in voting, this would be one of the highest, highest crimes. It's not going to be prosecuted. Well, they go and surveil you for misinformation because it's a public health threat on a thing that they've invented at warp speed to kill you. It's fascinating where we got this place going. And I've been trying to smooth out the waters a bit for everybody that will listen in order to prepare you as we move along. And I say prepare us in the health thing. There's always things going on. I'm hoping some of you have taken the information that I've been talking about and at least have a little bit of more knowledge of how to go about to protect yourself on myriad different subject matters that may come before you. It's a kind of a way of thinking as well. Another disrespect that I didn't have privilege, if you will, that I violated, I think, at least seems to me, you could think different. Everyone can observe differently, I suppose, and come to the thing a different conclusion. It really doesn't matter, but I'm just looking at this topical issues here. Where did certain protections go, and how are they not being called out? Like, there's no accountability for the interfering with elections at a federal level. If you get a warning letter, Teixeira is going to go to prison. Who is going to take away your life? Amazon's going to cut you out of your house until they figure out that you're not the problem. A lawyer urged Trump to seek deal in classified docs case, but he refused. Lawyers working with Donald Trump reportedly urged the former president to cooperate with the Justice Department and negotiate a settlement that would have enabled him to avoid the federal indictment that came late last week. Attorney Christopher Keis, according to reports in the U.S. media, wanted to approach the Justice Department in 2022 to see if the United States Attorney General Merrick Garland would be open to negotiating a settlement, believing at the time that he might be looking for an exit ramp that would allow him to avoid prosecuting a former president. However, Trump wasn't interested in reaching a deal, and Keis never approached the Justice Department. I want to ask here, folks, what happened to the attorney-client privilege that this attorney is speaking like this in public? I don't have an answer for this. Maybe I don't quite get a full understanding of what's going on. How is this guy even talking about this? And then you start looking at what's going on around the Trump. Boy, what a circus on top of it. Right, wrong, or indifferent. So, just, again, speech, protected speech here, was not protected. Again, another example, you can give it up. But was it proper? I don't even know. I don't even know where to begin on this. Who is this guy? Haven't heard anything from it. Giving information out that's important to people, and then having people, other people, say it's misinformation, it's not right, it's wrong, condemn it. It was a theme I was going on through last week, going through the Israeli Zionist Jewish problem, the misinterpretation of the two statuses, that the Zionism was actually a political movement that used Jews in order to establish Israel. It's not a religious state. It's the religious people, or those that feel they are, being used to establish a political state and condemn the actual landed people there. And I pointed out RFK Jr. had a problem, and he supports some of this. And part of what that decision on the video I hope you saw last week was showing you that RFK Jr. would literally, by his support of Israel, support the attack on the USS Liberty. You're not going to hear any of this, but you just got to put that together. What I didn't get to last week and moves along on this information, who can speak and who can't, how it's misinterpreted, how the promotion of it overwhelms the truth. The U.S. State Department accuses Pink Floyd's Roger Waters of anti-Semitism. Waters has been accused of anti-Semitism multiple times in the past as an outspoken supporter of Palestine and the BDS movement. The United States Department accused him, Roger Waters, the co-founder of Pink Floyd, of using anti-Semitic tropes and denounced his show in Berlin as deeply offensive to Jewish people. Now, I want you to remember back to what I was talking about, that article, that it went through the history of all this. Pretty enlightening, if you had never seen this stuff before. That shows you that protecting the Palestinians is not anti-Semitic. Talking against Israel as a state, a political state, is not anti-Semitic. They're not Semitic. They're political. Confounding Zionism with Jewish people is fraud. But this is the promotion that goes out, and it causes confusion for people. The performance took place on May 17th of May, and images showed the singer aiming a fake machine gun at the audience and recreating scenes from the film The Wall, an album by Pink Floyd's famous for criticizing fascism. Remember The Wall and be linked with another brick in the wall. He was explaining through and representing another genre media, and they called that anti-Semitism. Is the confounding of the definitions and free speech and the intent of the speech by an agenda that wants to take control of your mind and your thoughts. If we don't keep this straight and don't know to keep it straight, they get to control what we think and what that will lead us to do. Again, it's a slap on the wrist when they interfere. Remember this too. But I'm kind of wanted to point out from last week, the anti-Semitism, and multiple times you've been accused of it, to support Palestinians, if you read the story I presented to you last week, is not anti-Semitic. To confound the political state of Zionism with the Jewish people is fraud. And if we don't keep that straight, we're going to make mistakes. And getting back to RFK Jr., he walked into a problem. And this is because you don't know. And I don't think, I mean, at some point we are ignorant, but we make great strides in a mistake and we kind of start jumping from the frying pan to the fire in our ignorance. That's a problem. I'm not so sure I want someone like this in a leading role of a country either. And I'm a little bit on RFK Jr. because I see so many people that are supporting him responding to a soundbite stumping and not the underlying problem that he represents. And in particular to the sustainable future that they want. This is not going to go away with him. It's going to be accelerated on top of other things. RFK Jr. deletes tweet supporting Roger Waters, issues an explanation. I don't know how much I want to get into this explanation. It's really a hollow explanation. He says that he didn't, once he did the research on Roger Waters, he didn't understand the anti-Semitic nature of it. In other words, he didn't research deep enough to find out that it's not anti-Semitic. This is going to be a guy that's going to be ruling your country, given he also has influence by these anti-Semitic Zionists who have in a total control of our political process. Talk about election controls. RFK Jr. got in hot water by deleting a series of tweets about Roger Waters. And this is where he gets from five hands of the fire. I want you to see how this works. It's not bad to be ignorant and then fix. It's that when you make statements and then you try to respond to what you thought was ignorance, and that's ignorance, shows a lack of foresight. You're just responding in the moment. It's no different than a politician. This is not a deep thinking guy. He was correct to say what he said in the beginning, actually. And it's this political influence that goes unaccountable that is part of our problem. It's the same thing we're talking about in this context of a psychiatric problem having influence in the world. 0.3%, actually, you're watching corporations go down for the promotion of a psychiatric problem. That people won't put up with it. Yet I see lots of people falling for the same types of problems that I see RFK Jr. doing. On Twitter, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. praised Roger Waters for having the courage to take a dissenting stance on COVID and the war in Ukraine. That was followed by a tweet which said that he has some differences of opinion with Waters, and the third tweet asserted that Israel has the right to exist within secure borders and that it also supports legitimate aspirations of the Palestinians. The RFK Jr. deleted all three tweets. Below is a link. I just want to point out this is the frying pan to the fire, and then he moves wrong, and he moves wrong again. Now, I don't think that's an opinion. I think we can objectively figure it out when you find out the propaganda that mainstream does about the whitewashing Nazi integration, and then the lie about what Zionism is or Israel really is relative to Zionism, and that it's not about Jewish people. And the last story you read last week, I hope you read it, shows you that Jewish people are being used as fodder for this political establishment. The mainstream propaganda finally admits whitewashing Nazi affiliation was an underlying theme as well last week, where we're looking at the Nazi condition in Ukraine. It's all integrated. And they said that in the last article, which was an error in the last article, if you heard it, if you heard me say it and you didn't have a clue that it was wrong, the RFK wasn't against the war in Ukraine. In fact, his son participated in it. And again, so there's errors in that other article. I hope you heard it real quick, that RFK Jr. does not actually believe he supports this Ukraine thing, which is just a cover for what we're now finding out. New York Times has been forced to admit that their central role in whitewashing attempts that had long been obvious and known to virtually all independent analysts and media outlets relative to the Nazi connection, relative to Nazi symbols on Ukraine's front lines, highlighting thorny issues of history, relative to the denials as well on top of it all. The rather unexpected admissions comes after years of countless people trying to point out the obvious adoration of Nazi insignia and symbolism among the neo-Nazi junta forces, particularly the volunteer battalions that have been fighting the Donbas Republic since 2014. Okay, so this is right back to the beginning of that problem, and RFK doesn't oppose that, actually. His son was fighting, and he embraced his son. He should, but look where this mindset goes. Totally ignoring the underlying article that you should have read last week relative to showing that the influence in the Nazis was working with the Zionists to figure out a way to get the Jewish people to inhabit some place to allow the Zionists to cover their political agenda to take over and be the anti-Semites by attacking the Palestinians. This is really completely convoluted. It takes quite a bit to figure out. We're not looking at a bunch of people essentially in leadership roles or striving for leadership anymore that seem to do us any good. Those that are in the position of influence are getting slaps on the wrists. Those that are in the position of influence will claim not that it should have been known by everybody. In other words, that the security would be, national security would be breached, but it's not. They're always speaking in two directions, the Janus-faced approach. Nothing seems to be honest anymore. I told you years ago we were walking into an age, the era of deception. And boy, haven't we seen that. We'll need to use that, being able to discern, look past that to identify the sources of the real harm to protect us. And it's going to be incumbent on you. You cannot relinquish your responsibility to do that, or you're going to be those that call me an idiot that say, I don't know what I'm talking about relative to they did not exercise the due process that would have likely protected them. I say likely because of corruption. Likely you're going to be protected when you start asserting that there's failures of duty and the due process that was required, and in this case being able to file your habeas. That's not the only answer, but it's probably the most effective up front. That you're going to have to know all this stuff in face of all these deceivers that do, as I, in this case for the moving the election, a soundbite stumping, that need to be seen through, and make your decisions relative to those truths. I hope I said something today that enlightens you and shows you a little bit more to look at, that there is more to look at. There's certainly more to think about. Put it in context. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Open. opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.